So maybe a first question would be, give us a state of just your tribes. Madison has just been designated in December, Truax Field, as the home of F35A. Doctor, can you start? Give us an overview. To provide the most information on the health crisis, Wisconsin Eye is interviewing those on the front lines of the crisis, and no one, with the exception of hospital nurses and doctors, is more on the front line than Megan Wolf, administrator of the Wisconsin Election Commission. So, Megan, thanks very much. Incredibly busy day for taking a few minutes to talk to Wisconsin Eye about tomorrow's election. I Wisconsin Eye viewers really appreciate it.
Great. Well, I appreciate the opportunity to be here. It's always nice to talk with you.
Megan, do you have a feel for the number of potential voters, total voters, who have filed absentee? There's been 1.2 million. Do you think two-thirds of voters potentially have now filed to vote early?
So right now what we're seeing is, like you mentioned, there are nearly 1.3 million voters that have requested an absentee ballot. Now, I know our clerks are still dealing with a volume of requests that are unlike anything they've ever seen before. And so that number could continue to rise even throughout today as they enter those applications into the system. But yes, it looks like that number, you know, if you look at historical numbers, in the 2012 presidential preference, there were about 1.1 million voters. And then in the 2016 presidential preference, we had a record setting, just over 2 million voters that participated in that. So we seem to be somewhere in the middle in terms of volume of absentee requests so far.
But still, hundreds of thousands of voters could show up to do in-person voting tomorrow, right?
If you look at historical numbers, we never know exactly what turnout will look like, but if you look at the historical average, there's still potential for more voters to appear in person.
I know the commission last week had estimates on the number of local government units that didn't have enough poll workers to open a polling place. What's the commission's new estimate, ma'am?
So last night, in partnership with the Wisconsin National Guard, we undertook a pretty extraordinary effort to enlist the assistance of National Guard members to serve as poll workers in plain clothes in the counties where they're actually from. And so this morning, there were about 2,500 National Guard members that reported to the county where they're residents, again in plain clothes, to serve as poll workers today to help fill that gap. Initially, we had seen, like you said, about 111 jurisdictions that were reporting critical shortages in poll workers. Since then, there's also been significant consolidation of polling places, so that, you know, jurisdictions that maybe had multiple now might have a single voting location. And again, we're also having that National Guard assistance. Last night, those very incredible Guard members that have stepped up to be a part of this process went through a series of training so that they can serve in all the various roles as poll workers to assist jurisdictions that A, already know that they have a shortage, or B, may have a shortage tomorrow and need someone to step in the case of an emergency.
Well, that's good news, but do you think there will still be jurisdictions that won't be able to open a polling place?
So we've been working with the counties to, again, monitor that situation and help deploy the Guard members and others that may be in reserve in terms of being able to serve as poll workers. So we feel as though we have the numbers to be able to ensure that each polling place will at least be able to open on Election Day, even if they don't have as much staffing as they typically would in their polling place.
And the Guard members will not be in uniform?
That's correct. They will not be in uniform. They are poll workers. They're your neighbors, your friends, people in your community, and they're serving in the county, in the municipalities where they're actually from.
I love that. Guard members serving neighbors. Is the commission recommending that every in-person voter tomorrow wear some type of a face protection?
So currently, and I know this guidance changes daily, and so currently we're looking at what the procedure should be for Election Day. We worked with a public health official to come up with guidance for Election Day. Now, we absolutely recognize that that changes on a daily basis. Right now, the focus is on hand hygiene. So as you enter the polling place, you're going to be asked to sanitize your hands and go through the process and then sanitize again at the end. And so what I'd ask is that when you enter your polling place, there's going to be first of all, a sign on the door. And this is a bit of a screener to make sure that healthy individuals are only entering the polling place. And then there's going to be reminders about social distancing. And there's going to be other practices like the poll book or the registration table, where you're not going to be doing a face-to-face or handing over sort of transaction. There are other procedures in place. So I think it's really important to heed to the guidance of the poll workers and make sure that you're following their instructions to ensure that we're maintaining social distancing and that we're not exposing voters or the poll workers to contact that's too close.
If a voter chooses to wear some type of face protection, will she or he have to take it off to identify the proof of who they are once they show the photo ID?
So the law says that the voter must reasonably resemble the photo on their driver license or their state ID card. And so there could be a situation where if the poll worker isn't able to identify you and you have a mask on, where they may ask you to briefly show your whole face. But if they are able to identify the voter, if let's say they can tell, you know, that you are you, then there wouldn't be that need. And so again, this is all going to rely on the cooperation of voters who are participating tomorrow and poll workers and making sure that we're operating safely and we're following the directions that your poll worker has for you.
Well, I'm in person voting tomorrow and I present my photo ID. Will I have to hand that to a poll worker or will they be able to keep it?
Great question. So what you're going to be asked to do is there's going to be a line and a line on the floor that indicates where 6 feet is away from the table. What they're going to ask you to do is to set your photo ID on the table. And as you approach the table, the poll worker is going to step back 6 feet. They're going to ask you to set your ID on the table so they can look at it. They're not going to touch it. They're not going to have a hand-to-hand transaction, but they need to be able to see the information. And then the poll worker again is going to step back and ask the voters to approach the table so that they can sign the poll book. Each individual will have the opportunity to get their own pen, so there won't be sharing of pens except for some ballot marking devices that are very specific to the equipment. But to sign the poll book, you'll be issued your own pen that you can either take with you or dispose of after you sign the poll book.
But that pen will be a souvenir of a very historic election, won't it, Megan?
It certainly will. It certainly will.
Now, is that, there'll be lines drawn, 6 feet, you present your photo ID. Is that universal for all polling places in the state, ma'am?
So we've provided every polling place in the state a checklist that we developed with a public health official. We also provided them printed signs, so enough to have about 10 signs in every polling place, reminders about social distancing, as well as these reminders at the poll book table and the registration table, again, about how to maintain that social distancing and not do those hand-to-hand transactions. And so, yes, that should be consistent experience throughout the polling places. There are some places that have done other things, like put up plexiglass barriers on the tables. Yes. Where the poll book will be or other things. And so again, you'll have to work with your poll worker to follow the instructions that they've established for their polling place. But they've all received these checklists and these signs to be able to accomplish some of these usual more face-to-face processes in a different way. We've also provided them all with things like blue painter's tape so they can make those markings on the floor so people know where to maintain that distance.
How will I know if my polling place has been moved? And if it has been moved, where I have to go to vote in person tomorrow?
Yeah, that's a really important question too. So please, if you're going to vote tomorrow, check your polling place before you go. And the best way to do that is to go to myvote.wi.gov. myvote.wi.gov. And this will be the best place for you to double check where your polling place is, because it may have changed. There are many facilities that aren't available during this crisis, and there are also many polling places that have either been relocated or consolidated. So please check before you go. We've also advised the clerks to put signs on the usual polling places directing voters to the new polling place if it has changed. And so that way, if you do show up at the place where you're used to voting, there should be instructions there pointing you to where you should go.
Local officials, local clerks have pretty wide discretion over their polling places, right? So I was kind of impressed. And the city of Racine, potential voters are getting the temperature taken. Do you expect that to be a widespread practice?
We have not heard of that in terms of a widespread practice. Again, I know there are a lot of places that are implementing some of their own procedures in consultation with their county or their city public health officials. Our advice, again, has been to have that sort of screener on the door, letting voters know that if they do have symptoms that they should not enter the polling place. There's also a screener that each poll worker is going to be asked to complete on the morning of the election to ensure that they're fit for duty. If someone is symptomatic and is not able to enter the polling place, there should also be a number on that sign that they can call to do what we call curbside voting. So there is curbside voting available for people who are not able to enter the polling location, and we do have some advice that has been again developed with a public health official where people will be able to do things like show their ID through the glass on their car window in order to make sure that they have a physical barrier between them and the poll worker during that process.
You mentioned earlier in the interview washing of hands. Will all in-person voters be asked to wash their hands, or will that be a decision of the local officials?
So each polling place is going to be different. Some of them, you know, some of our polling places, and especially small townships, may not have facilities to actually wash hands. But we have provided a sanitation solution to each of the polling places in the state. So we were, we weren't able to find your traditional Purell hand sanitizer. As we all know, there's an extreme shortage on that. But we were able to find a liquid 70% alcohol solution that will be in spray bottles in all voters. And poll workers, as they enter the polls and as they start the process, will be asked to at least sanitize their hands if there is not a hand wash or a sink and soap available to them before they start the process. And again, that's going to be offered at the end of the process before the voter goes back out into the world or touches other surfaces.
Well, thanks to the commission, because you just put out a press release with FAQs, frequently asked questions, and it deals with this issue. Will 6-foot distancing be enforced between a voter and the next voter at all polling places?
Yes, all polling places have been instructed to make sure that they're maintaining social distancing within the polling place, not just for the voters, but for the voters and poll workers, for poll workers amongst themselves, and for other people that might be in the facility like observers. We also advised each facility that they need to determine how many people they can have in their polling place facility to still accomplish safe social distancing. And so if they've met capacity, again, between voters, poll workers, and observers, they may have to ask people to wait outside, and again, social distancing will be enforced even outside to make sure that people are staying apart before they're allowed to come into the facility. So I think, again, this is going to be a huge cooperative effort between voters and poll workers, is to make sure that we're all following the guidance that's set forth by your individual polling place.
And I want to come back to something you just said. I remember the recall election of 2012, and my polling place was packed. And it was outside of the building. But even outside, the 6-foot rule will be enforced, ma'am?
Yes. And, you know, it depends, again, on how your polling place is set up. Some might have a place where they can have people queue and they can have lines set. Other places, it might be a greeter or another poll worker that's standing out there to sort of help people make sure that they understand where to stand before they're allowed entrance. And so, again, please pay attention to the directions at your individual polling place. They're all very different. If you live in a small township, the facilities that you might use to vote might be very different than what they use in a large jurisdiction. And so making sure that you look for signage and follow the instructions of the poll workers is very important.
And if I show up to in-person vote tomorrow, if anyone does, and they really feel that someone is too close to them and they're concerned, should they talk to that other potential voter, or should they call it to the attention of a poll worker?
I would say please call it to the attention of the chief inspector of your polling place and let them know if somebody isn't maintaining those safe distances. That's certainly not something that we can expose our voters or other poll workers to. And so if that is happening, please bring it to the attention of the chief inspector of the polling place.
When Wisconsin and I did an interview with Mark O'Connell of the Wisconsin Counties Association last week, he said some voters could have to wait 45 minutes. So here's my question. If I am told that the wait to vote is going to be 30 or 45 minutes and I have other commitments and I can't wait that long. What options do I have, ma'am?
So on election day, the option would be to wait until there's an opportunity to potentially come back. But there's no opportunity for things like a provisional ballot if you're not able to stand in line. The only option for things like a provisional ballot would be if you don't have the photo ID needed to cast your ballot that day. I think patience, this has all been such a difficult situation for all of us, and the rules and the patients needed have really changed. And I think that's going to be true of this scenario too. There's brand new procedures that the poll workers are new to, and this is new to all of us. So patience is certainly warranted. I think, it's important to note too, that extends to election night results as well. And I'm sure we'll talk about that a little more too, but you're not going to see results on election night because of the extended period to return absentees. And so I think overall patience is key in this election.
Patience is key. Well, just to follow up that, if I'm told it's going to be potentially 25 or 30 minutes and I don't have that time, can I seek an absentee ballot? And can I ask for it and then take it home? And of course, in the presence of a witness, can I complete it and then bring it back?
No, you cannot. So the last day to issue absentee ballots was on Friday. And then in-person absentee voting did occur over the weekend, but the law does not allow for the issuance of absentee ballots on the Monday or Tuesday of the election. Now, that being said, there is one exception. So the law does provide for ballots to be transported through an agent to hospitalized electors and sequestered jurors. So in the case of hospitalized electors, the commission did consider the definition is not very firm in the statutes of what is a hospitalized elector, and they did decide that definition could include people that are in quarantine. And so if somebody finds themselves completely unable to go to the polling place on election day and they need to have a ballot delivered to them, we do have a process for what we call hospitalized or quarantine voters where they can appoint an agent to be the courier for their ballot for them.
Our local officials are pretty creative. The mayor of Neenah, yeah, former state representative Dean Crawford, has lined up a abandoned department store, and that's going to be a polling place, and installed plexiglass. And City of Madison has installed the same barrier between voters. So local officials are using creative solutions to help pull off this in-person election?
Absolutely. I am just overwhelmed with how proud and how just amazing our local election officials are. They're incredible. Their resiliency, their resourcefulness, what they're willing to do to ensure democracy in their communities is remarkable. Each one of them are seriously my heroes. They're just absolutely incredible, the things that they've come up with to help get us all through this.
Yeah, a question involving lawyers. If a voter believes that she or he may in person vote tomorrow and actually contract COVID-19. Are the lawyers saying there might be some potential liability before that, potential liability by that local government or state government? Has anyone explored that?
I'm not aware of any issues that have been brought to our attention in terms of that type of liability. There's certainly a number of questions on the table that are being answered right now, but that particular one is not something that is currently the subject of litigation or other questions.
Okay. I realize you're in a time bind, and just a couple more questions. To the best of your knowledge, has the Supreme Court ruled on the appeal from the GOP yet, on whether the extension until April 13 is valid?
We are still waiting for the final decision in that matter. And like you said, that does relate to if ballots can be returned through the 13th. So yeah, under the current court ruling, voters can return their absentee ballot to their polling place, to their clerk's office, or by mail through the 13th. They would need to be in the clerk's hand by 4 p.m. on Monday the 13th in order to be counted. But we are, ready to issue new guidance should that change at some point today.
Okay, and the deadline then, it's very important. The deadline to apply for absentee ballots has already passed.
Yes.
The witness requirement is still in place, correct? If you cast an absentee ballot, you have to have an adult witness.
That's correct. All voters must have a witness witness their absentee ballot before they return it. And the exception, there is no exception to that. There are potential ways to remedy that. So let's say you forgot to include your witness signature, or you sent it back during that time period between rulings and included an affirmation. The remedy is that you and your witness would have to appear in person, either at the clerk's office or at the polling place to both sign that ballot. And so if you're unable to go to the polling place on election day, there is no other course under the law to be able to remedy that missing signature.
Let me ask you about Judge Conley's ruling. That really didn't extend the campaign, right? It just said, it just extended the period to count absentee ballots. Do I have that right?
That's correct. So there can't be any ballots issued after the deadline. So
that's
like
important.
You said on Friday was the deadline to issue ballots. It just extended the time period for voters to return a ballot. So if you haven't requested a by mail ballot or an absentee ballot, then you won't be able to request ballots through Election Day. You'll just have more time to return it to your clerk's office.
Thank you. And then a final question. Given all the work that's been done, all the back and forth legally, you feel pretty good about where Wisconsin is in terms of in-person voting tomorrow, in terms of keeping voters and poll workers safe?
There have been numerous preparations made, and again, the resourcefulness of our municipal clerks to prepare for this event. I think it's all of our natures as election officials to find a solution to any barrier that's put in front of us. And so I think everything that's humanly possible in terms of measures to put in place to overcome the significant challenges of this crisis have been done at this point. And so, again, I'm just so proud of all the efforts of our local election officials and everything they've done to prepare for tomorrow.
Well, and I want to point out that in Judge Conley's ruling, he saluted you and your staff for your professional decisions here to try to conduct this election in the wake of your three constituencies, local election officials, and you have a commission that tends to deadlock 3-3 and a very serious health epidemic. So Judge Conley said, atta girl to you and your staff. So congratulations. And thank you so much, Megan Wolf, administrator of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, for taking the time to help Wisconsin Eye viewers understand tomorrow's in-person election. Thank you.
Thank you.
This program is a production of Wisconsin Eye, an independent, nonpartisan, nonprofit media network with a mission to inform, educate, and engage the citizens of Wisconsin. Wisconsin Eye is the nation's first and only independently funded state civics broadcast network, providing gavel-to-gavel access to government proceedings and events at the state capitol.